You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the mindsets of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I'm really honored and excited for today's guest. He's come back on Making Bank. I want to welcome Jim Quick to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man.
It's good to see you.
For sure. It's good to see you again. So Jim and I were talking a little bit before, and we're like, how can we best deliver the most value to you guys today? And I think it's just really uncovering what Jim's mindsets and his strategies are to keep his brain in optimal performance. He's an entrepreneur just like you guys, and just how he's able to break through the distractions and the noise on a daily basis, what he's eating to really help optimize and move that, you know, make sure that brain is firing quickly. So Jim, let's just dive in and, you know, really take a look at that first step of what you start your day out with and, you know, how you utilize foods it could be to
start
with.
First of all, thanks for everybody who's joining us for this conversation. We're going to talk about how to optimize and build better brains so you can have a better business, because your business is really dependent on your mind power, right? We're not paid for muscle power, we're paid for our mind power. It's not your brute strength, it's completely your brain strength, right? Your ability to solve problems, to be able to think clearer, to be able to focus, to be able to learn faster, because the faster you can learn, the faster you can earn. And that's why it's so important to have this conversation.
For sure.
And I think really right now, entrepreneurs are suffering from all these kind of like, it's interesting being an entrepreneur right now because you have so much pressure, you have so many things that are vying for your attention. And so how do you manage all of that in a digital economy where there's distraction and there's these demands and there's these difficulties? And so part of it is building up some kind of growth plan, right? Your mindset is part of it. It's be building your growth, but it's not just growth. It's also your ability to have grit, because nowadays...
That sustainability for...
Right, because you go through challenges and, you know, part of going through as an entrepreneur's journey, you're going through challenges and it changes you.
Right.
And sometimes our struggles become our strength. And I know this because growing up, when people see me on stage, it's funny, we've shared stages before. Yeah. People see me do these demonstrations where I'll memorize a room full of people's names, like literally 100 people's names, or they'll give me 100 numbers or 100 words forwards and backwards. And I always tell people, I don't do this to impress you. I do this to express to you what's really possible. Because the truth is, you could do it too. Every single person that's with us today has incredible capacity to learn, to think, to solve problems, and have a vitality of their mind also as well. But the challenge is, your brain is this incredible supercomputer, but doesn't come with an owner's manual.
Sure.
Like, nobody shows us how to use it. So you wonder why you're stressed. You wonder why you have information fatigue syndrome or information anxiety. And so I'd love to go through strategies on,
on
how to conquer all those modern day supervillains. We talk about, we geek out over superheroes.
Right, yeah. And he's the Batman phone case that I'm utilizing for my kid's phone.
I have my Iron Man case also as well. But the reason why I talk about superheroes a lot is because I feel like entrepreneurs are real life modern day superheroes.
Right.
They're the ones that are solving problems. They're the ones creating value. They're the ones that are creating jobs, things that weren't there before. And so I honor the capes that you wear. But the truth is, there's these super villains also that get in our way, you know? And the ones I talk about a lot are things like information overload and overwhelm. It kind of holds us back. And we always feel like we're trying to catch up and we can't ever keep up, much less get ahead. So how I like to start is, we could talk about something new that we didn't talk about before.
For sure, yeah.
So starting your day is really important. Everyone always talks about morning routines, right? Oprah has her routine and Tony Robbins has his routine. For me, my morning routine and the concept behind this, for those of you who are just new to this idea, is that if you want to win the day, you win the morning, right?
Right.
Because you want to develop positive momentum, because that's, you want to have a great day, you have to have a good morning. And so, first of all, I wake up and I start by remembering my dreams. That's the first thing that I do. And why is that important for an entrepreneur? And I don't really have this conversation out. I did a podcast episode on this recently for our show. And the reason why entrepreneurs want to remember their dreams is this. When you're going throughout your day, you are learning. And then at night, though, the things don't just shut off. Your subconscious mind is working on the things that you worked on that day. And so it's solving problems. It's integrating your short to long-term memory. The challenge is you could have some real deep wisdom and solutions in your dream.
Sure.
But when you wake up, most people don't remember their dreams.
For me, dude, I remember as a kid, I always would.
Right.
But now as an adult, it's like, what happened to him?
And yet you wonder that, right? You have this, you know, you had something that was insightful or inspiring, and for the life of you, you can't recall what it is. And so the first thing I do is I go through a process, and I give you a couple of tips here on how to remember your dreams. But I go through a process, and the reason why is this for entrepreneur. Some of the most incredible discoveries in culture, in literature, in art, in science,
right.
And invention, and in music, actually came from someone's dreams. So for example, Frankenstein came to Mary Shelley in a dream.
Wow.
I mean, okay. That isn't incredible, like Frankenstein, right?
Yeah.
Paul McCartney dreamt about Yesterday, the song Yesterday, sure. In a dream. How amazing is that, right? Elias Howe invented the sewing machine in his dream. I mean, that's amazing. And so even the scientific method and the periodic table actually came, that the whole, the structure of it came in a chemist's dream. And so that's what's happening when you're sleeping. And because you're an entrepreneur, you're working on solving these problems and putting together your team, having your impact, scaling your business and everything, or starting your business. And then at nighttime, you're actually have this incredible power. Your subconscious mind is so much more powerful than your conscious mind. And it's working on it, so you want to be able to remember it. So I go through a process, a couple of quick tips on how to remember your dreams. First off, when you go to bed, set the intention that you're going to remember your dreams. And okay. So what I mean by that specifically is, have you ever, you have to wake up at like 6:30,
right.
And you set the intention to wake up because you have something very important, and you wake up like 2 minutes before your alarm clock
right.
goes off?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's your setting your intention, and so trust that you'll be able to do that. So trust you'll be able to remember your dreams. The other thing is very simple, is keeping a dream journal by your bed.
Okay.
I keep a journal by my bed, and I just specifically only use it to write my dreams. So I start training my brain to remember your dreams better, because once you start attuning to that, you could start writing it every single morning, or even if you wake up, you could write in it. Maybe you get one of those, go on Amazon, get one of those pens that have a little light on it
right.
and such, write your dreams, but you're training yourself to do it. I also had a podcast episode on lucid dreaming. And you know what lucid dreaming is?
Yeah.
It's
I don't know if a lot of people here do.
So lucid dreaming is this. Have you ever had a dream and you realize that you're dreaming? You're in a dream, but you realize you're aware. So lucidity means awareness, dream. You're aware that you're dreaming. And it's an incredible tool that anyone can learn how to do, even if it's not natural for you. And you could train yourself to be aware that when you're dreaming, what's the benefit is that you could have some real amazing uptime and be able to solve problems, live out your imagination, these incredible dreams, talk to people that you've always wanted to talk to and learn from it. And then also I get all the benefits from restorative sleep.
Sure.
And which is so important. And we'll come back to this thing of called sleep, because I think it's like the number one brain hack out there is getting good rest. Because most entrepreneurs, they're working 9 to 5 because they're working their job. And then
right.
at nighttime, they're building their business sometimes.
Sure.
And they're not getting the rest. And I would say, yes, work hard, play hard, but also rest hard also, because sleep is so important. Because when you lack sleep, you don't make good decisions the next day, you don't think really well, you don't solve problems really well. Your focus is, your memory, everything is shot when you don't get sleep. So I could give you some good, really good sleep hacks. But the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is I remember my dreams. I go through this process, like a 5-step process to be able to do that. Next, I don't know if you do this, Josh. I actually make my bed first thing in the morning. It's one of the reasons why,
right.
is because they always say how you do anything is how you do everything.
Sure.
And you're training yourself first thing before you get out of that bed to be able to do something with excellence. And I mean, how long does it take to make your bed?
30 seconds.
Exactly. You're talking about 30 seconds, 1 minute, make your bed, it's worth it. And you do it with excellence, and you have a win, right? You get to hit the first domino in your day. You start out with a win, you feel good about yourself. And again, you're training yourself that the little things matter. And what's also wonderful is when you come back at the end of the day, at night,
right.
you come back to success, right? You come back to a made bed.
Right.
And by the way, having a clean environment is part of having a really sharp mind also as well. I talk about the 10 keys for unlocking your what I call your quick brain. And one of them happens to be sleep, but the other one happens to be cleaning your environment. Because when you clean your environment, you start having better focus and clarity also. Remember,
sure.
like you clean your desktop on your computer and all of a sudden, or you clean your office and you have clarity.
It's a big
thought.
Clutter, and then it's like, oh, let me get it all
exactly.
organized.
Because your internal world is a reflection of your external world, right? So I make my bed. After that, I go through like breathing exercises.
Okay.
Because most people, like, they go to food first thing for energy, but you could go a long time without food.
Right.
Right? How long can you go without food?
Weeks. I mean, I just 36-hour fasted last week, so yeah.
How do you feel?
I felt amazing. Like, we actually had a 5K run, like, as I was getting ready, you know, before. So I ran the 5K and had energy and super focused and you know, and then I ate after the 5K and stuff.
Yeah, and so I do intermittent fasting, so I don't really eat food in the morning myself, but you should talk to your health practitioner, your coach, and stuff like that.
Right.
But food, we could go weeks, over a month without food, right? But how long can you go without something like water? Like maybe a few days.
A few days, unless, yeah.
But how long can you go without air? A few minutes, right? So you went from a few weeks to, you know, a few days to a few minutes. And so I do breathing exercises in the morning, and it's important. So you can do whatever works for you. Box breathing, alpha breathing, Wim Hof method. I mean, there's a lot of different ways of doing it. You could do a whole episode on just breathing techniques. But it's important, though, because the challenge is your brain is only maybe 2% of your body weight, but it utilizes over 20% of its resources. And sometimes a lot of us are on our computers all day and we're collapsed like this, or and we collapse our diaphragm, the lower one-third of your lungs absorbs, you know, almost two-thirds of like all the oxygen.
Sure.
And a lot of people are not getting the breath and the air, the oxygen. So that's why a lot of people suffer from mental fog or mental fatigue and they're tired, is the breathing, which is very important. That's why even my rituals, when I'm working on a computer, they say, you know, sitting is the new smoking.
Right.
And because people are sedentary, they sit there for 8 hours and they never get up. You know, set your clock and set your alarm to stand up every 30 minutes or 45 minutes and just spend a few minutes and just do, we teach people how to do these brain movements. Because as your body moves, your brain grooves, right?
Right.
And it's one of the most, and you know this because your brain is controls, like one half of your brain controls the other half of the body and vice versa. So when you use your body in certain ways, it actually stimulates your brain to make new connections. They call it neuroplasticity. And neuroplasticity is basically saying that you can make new connections in your brain just by having a new thought or new movements. So novelty and nutrition is really important. So I do the deep breathing a number of times, and I do some like burpees, like for 1 or 2 minutes. It's not my exercise for the day, but I like to get into my body, right? And energize myself, do something pretty intense for like a minute or two just to kind of wake up like that. I do have a big tall glass of water. I usually put some kind of, you know, fancy drops in it or something like that. And then I make a tea. And my tea is like a brain tea. I usually jumpstart my brain with a brain tea. I put like gota cola, ginkgo, lion's mane. I put some honey. Some people, honey doesn't work for them, but it happens to work for me really well. And I put some kind of fat in there. So it could be, I don't know, like MCT.
Right.
Some people grass-fed put butter.
Yeah.
Grass-fed butter. Some people put ghee in it, but I put some kind of fat in there and it just helps you to be able to absorb it. Sometimes I'll put turmeric in there because turmeric really is a superfood. I did a whole podcast episode on that, like 10 my favorite brain foods. And one of them is that kind of that yellow powder, like golden powder, which is really important because I know you and I talk about inflammation.
Right,
you know,
for
and inflammation is something that you have in your body, your brain. Your brain is obviously part of your body, but it's there and it creates a lot of challenges for a lot of people because you're under stress all the time. And we talk about cold therapy and we've gone to cryotherapy together. And it's a wonderful way to wipe out inflammation in your body. Just like if I bang my knee on a coffee table, I would put ice on it to reduce the swelling. Well, we have swelling in our body all the time. And we know some of the high performers, they take ice baths.
Michael
Phelps and everyone else. So cold therapy is really good. So I jump in the shower and I'll, you know, my tea is kind of setting. And I'll take a cold shower every single day. And it just wakes me up and it just, you know, it's a nice... People already don't want to hear this, but as a coach, I want to tell people like what could work for you potentially. But a short cold shower kind of wakes up the nervous system. It's like control alt delete, which is like a nice reset for people.
Right.
And then I have my tea and I journal. Some people use the 5-minute journal,
which
you're familiar with, and talk about gratitude because I think that's very important. Talk about and really feel the things that you're most grateful for. Like everybody has a to-do list, and I wake up and I have like a to-feel list.
Oh, yeah.
To-feel list, it's like, we talked about this in the past, that I think there's two kinds of people. There's thermometers and there's thermostats.
Right.
You know, a thermometer, when you think about the function, a lot of people put them in the same category, but it's very different. A thermometer is something that like reacts to the environment. It tells you what the environment is giving it. But a thermostat is different. A thermostat sets a standard, it sets a vision, it sets a goal, whatever it is, and then the environment raises for that.
To that, yeah.
And that's what it really an entrepreneur is, right? An entrepreneur is somebody who says, okay, I'm going to spend more time being a thermometer than a thermostat. Because all of us could react to things. We could react to the economy, we could react to the weather, we could react to our clients and how they're treating us. But to the degree you're happy and fulfilled is to the degree you have the locus of control inside and you set the standard. And that's what entrepreneurs do. They have a vision and then they take the invisible and they make it more right. visible out there. So I think it's really important to have that vision for yourself. And most importantly, vision how you want to feel every single day. Like everyone has a to-do list, but they don't have like a to-be list. This is who I'm going to be today, or this is what I'm going to feel today, as opposed to just waiting and hoping I'm going to feel, you know, fascinated or interested or
reacting to what's
exactly.
around me.
Yeah. And so that's, and the, you know, you brought up a really good point. So I have a to-do list and I also have a not to-do list. And I notice a lot of the really high level elite mental performers that I get to work with, like, you know, all these CEOs and actors, A-listers, they have a to-do list, but they have a really big not to-do list.
Sure.
And so you have a to-feel list, a to-be list, and not to-do list. But one of the things that I don't do, you notice that I've gone through a number of things I do in the morning, I never mention my phone.
Right.
And most people, the first thing that they do when they wake up is they touch and go through their phone. And I'll tell you two things that why you don't want to do this for productivity. Number one, it's every like, share, comment, everything, every time you get that, it creates a dopamine hit, right?
Yeah.
And this is Instagram. We just did a podcast episode on how to change your habits.
Okay.
And I think really, right, we know this. You make your habits and then your habits make you. But I brought on Dr. BJ Fogg, and he is the head, he was at Stanford University, researcher, and teaches people how to create new habits and make things addictive. And one of his students co-founded Instagram.
Oh, wow.
Right? And think about how addicting Instagram and social media is, because every single time you see a red, you know, message thing, like, whatever it is, you have to click on it because it's this impulse to be able to do that. Even one of the growth hacks I have is there's a setting on your phone where you could actually triple hit your button, and then it actually it turns everything grayscale, so you don't see you don't see the blue
colors,
light,
right.
You don't see the red that makes you feel like, oh, I gotta check this message or whatever it is. So the first thing that checking your phone does is it fries you, because it trains you to be distracted, right? It's training you with all these dopamine hits, norepinephrine, all the chemical hits that you're getting, to be distracted. And that's a big problem for a lot of entrepreneurs. They can't stay focused on one thing at a time, and they try to multitask, and we know that multitasking doesn't work. Conclusively, all the research says you cannot do two cognitive intense activities at the same time. Like, you could walk and chew gum, right, because it doesn't take a lot of thought, but you cannot work on two projects at the same time. And you feel like you can because you're getting those same dopamine fixes because you're getting novelty, but every single time you switch from one thing to another, there's a switching cost, and it takes upwards of 5 minutes to 20 minutes to regain your flow, getting back in the zone, your focus, your concentration. So if you feel like you're multitasking, you're actually losing ground definitively. So we have your feel list, not to feel list. And then for the other part of reaching for your phone, besides all the distraction, you're training yourself not only to be distracted, you're training yourself to be reactive, right? And you know this because you've seen this. You get these emails and these texts, and that's the first thing you're seeing. You're training yourself to be able to fight fires, to be able to, everybody has this, you know, these things that they want from you, and you're just reacting to things as opposed to setting your day with an intention. And that's why I think journaling is important. So I'm drinking my brain tea and I'm writing down, okay, this is what I want to feel today. And this is the three things I want to accomplish today. And I have three business things and I have three personal things.
Okay.
And they don't have to be epic things.
Right.
They don't have to be really huge, big things. They're just things that it could be simple as having a green juice today or going for a walk for my personal things, right?
Sure.
But on a business thing, I think, you know, out of the 200 things on my to-do list, I think about the three things that would move the needle the most, because there's some things on that list that if you did that one thing, it would take care of like 20 things on your list, right? And so we're always talking about the Pareto's principle and the 80-20 rule, always focusing on first things first. And so I'm drinking my brain tea, I'm journaling a little bit, And so a little bit later, not too much later, I actually make like a brain smoothie.
Okay.
And I put, okay, so some of the brain foods that I
So these are more about, the super foods and stuff.
Yeah, right? These are like the super ingredients that really, that you put together and just make a good meal because you are what you eat.
Sure.
Right? I mean, we know that for entrepreneurs, for everybody, even your families and everybody, your friends and your team, 1/3 of your intelligence, your memory, your potential there is predetermined by genetics and biology. But 2/3 is completely under control. So what I like to focus is on is that are the 10 things that really move the needle for having an optimal brain, what I call the quick brain. And it ranges. It's a good brain diet, right?
Sure.
It's getting rid of negative thoughts. It's exercise because studies have shown that when you exercise and then afterwards study or do something, you have better focus, you have better memory, because basically you have better blood flow.
Right.
Because when you get your heart moving, right, it starts to circulate blood into the areas that you need it.
And that can just be a walk or, because I know when I work out, whether it's running, whether it's CrossFit or whatever it may be, I mean, that's a lot of times when the best ideas come to me.
Completely. When you're going for a hike outside and you're in that place, that's when you're actually creating these brain-derived nutrients and connections. And so movement is key because as your body moves, your brain grooves. So we're talking about exercise. We're talking about supplementation. We're talking about, because maybe you're not, you know, you and I, I mean, how many cities have you been in this past week?
Right.
You know, like you're traveling, so you don't always get to eat the best foods ever. So supplementing with omega-3s and B vitamins, because sometimes I highly recommend everyone watching this, get your blood work done and get a nutritional like profile and see the areas that you might be deficient at, because you can, like I teach people how to read 3 times faster. I teach people how to learn languages and do all these things. But if you're lacking certain B vitamins, it's really hard to hold your attention, for example.
Right.
So look at what you're, and I would also recommend doing food sensitivity, hormonal, all that stuff plays a part. Everyone always wants to know what's the magic pill to have a better memory, but it's not a pill, it's a process.
Sure.
Right? And so all these things matter. Sleep matters, clean environment matters, brain protection, new learning, stress management, all these things work. So you can't just do one thing, you have to do it all, because your brain is everything. Your brain controls your income, your intelligence, your impact, you know, on the world. And most people, they haven't optimized their brain because they've never had training in this area. Because school, it's interesting. School teaches you like what to learn, math and history and science. Not a lot of classes on how to learn and how to think and how to solve problems, how to focus, concentrate, how to remember things, how to remember people's names in business. So the number one business etiquette, you know, networking skill there is remembering people's names, right? And or reading fast. Nobody teaches you these things. Like even, that's why I love like your community, because you're bringing this knowledge to people and you're helping them up-level their learning so they can up-level their life. And so I make my brain smoothie and, you know, and you people could, I'm not gonna go through all 10 things, my superfoods, but things are like avocado, really good fats,
right?
We're talking, if you eat fish, salmon or some of the smaller fish, right? Sardines, very good because it has all the fats that you need. I'm talking about blueberries, which are just delicious. I call them brain berries, which are really great to be able to add to. Walnuts, and notice that walnuts, what it looks like. It actually looks like your brain, right? And there's certain foods, it's like a signature of foods. Like if you cut a carrot and you look at it, you know, on the profile, it looks like an eye.
Right.
Right, or avocado is really good for reproductive organs. Like nature tells you these things. And so, and a lot of these ingredients, like green leafy vegetables, very good for your brain, right? A lot of things that have antioxidants and vitamin E, it fights free radicals, which is important because your brain, you know, your body is always under attack. But I'll take a lot of these ingredients and I'll actually throw it into a blender and I'll make a brain smoothie. And that's an easy way to be able to consume it. You put your avocado in there, your green leafy vegetables, your blueberries. Water is a superfood, right? Because most people are dehydrated completely. Your brain and your body is about 70-75% water. Make sure you stay hydrated. But I'll put all these ingredients, not the sardines, in my in my brain smoothie, and I'll have that. And then that's when I'll start reading. And I really do like, I've had this opportunity to work with high-performing actors that have to film crazy hours at crazy days, and different locations and stuff like that. And someone like a Will Smith,
right?
And he says, you know, Jim, every day, every morning, I run and I read, you know, and metaphorically do something physical and do something mental,
right?
And we were talking before we started filming about preparation and how do we prepare to go on film and do
for
all
sure.
this. And I remember asking him, because we were in Toronto together, and he was filming from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. each of those nights, which is really messes up your sleep and everything. And I was like, hey, when somebody calls you at 3 o'clock in the morning, how do you get ready? And he's like, Jim, I never have to get ready. He's like, I stay ready. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, cause you, when you live your message and you're doing this work, you know, what they, as success coaches have said, I don't know if it's Tony Robbins or somebody else, you know, what you practice in private, you're rewarded for in public.
Right.
And do the work and you get all the rewards. And so do the work. So I'm reading. So he says he runs and he reads. I like to read every day. There's not a day that goes by that I won't read something. And I just did a show on how to read 52 books a year without speed reading. And people say, that's a lot of books. Because the average person reads like 2 books a year.
Maybe.
If that. And then the average CEO, though, reads about 4 or 5 a month.
Sure.
Like one a week.
Right.
And that person has such a huge advantage, right? If somebody has decades of experience and they put it into a book on negotiation, on sales, on marketing, on team development, culture, whatever it is, product development, and any kind of scaling thing, and they put it into a book, and you can sit down in a few days and read that book, that's awesome.
That's awesome, yeah.
You could download decades into days, and you have such a big advantage. So I read, and here's the thing. I went on Amazon, I wanted to find out the medium number of words per book.
Right.
It's about 64,000 words.
Okay.
And that means 50% higher, 50% lower. And I was like, that's interesting. The average person reads approximately 200 words per minute. And so you divide the two, and you have about 320 minutes to read a book.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Now that sounds like a lot big number, but if you divide that by 7, that's about 45 minutes of reading a day.
Right.
Just 45 minutes of reading a day will get you a book a week done. And that's what becomes that's very doable,
yeah.
Right? To be able to have that. So I read and that's besides the fact, you know, we teach people how to read 3 times faster, right? So
they can condense it.
Right. You can read basically in 15 minutes that normally takes, you know, 45 minutes and then you're done. And so my goal is to get people reading one book a week. We do like a book a week club, if you will, because that's it. That'd be the biggest difference, because most people overestimate what they could do in a day.
Sure.
Right. But most people grossly underestimate what they can do in a year.
Right.
And you taking 52 books and putting it into your mind in a way that you could retain it and comprehend it, not where you're skimming or scanning, but really reading it, then you just have an incredible advantage. I mean, you have the expert's edge, right? And so that's what we're talking about. I do, I drink my smoothie, I read my book, and then I'm ready for the day.
Sure.
You know, I'm ready. Like that's like the first hour. And if people think like, well, I can't do that because I have kids and I have this and this, then wake up a little bit earlier. I mean, just make this a priority, because I get tagged in this on social media all the time. But I tell people self-love and self-care is not selfish. And self-care is so important for entrepreneurs,
for sure.
Because I can't tell you how many entrepreneurs, and get to work with some amazing ones like you, that just, they run themselves ragged and they're hustling all the time. And that, I totally get the hard work.
Right.
Right. But you got to work hard, and you got to rest hard also. You got to restore hard. Because it's not sustainable.
Well, I know one of the things you mentioned, even just from a time perspective, like being able to make the smoothies and all that, is we located or came across Daily Harvest.
Oh, yeah.
And so they ship you, and they're like all the nutrients. So like my kids love the ones with the walnuts, and I mean, that's the same ones I love too, but it has all the brain foods you're talking about. So you literally have no excuse. You just dump it in the blender, put some coconut milk with it, blend it up, and you got like a rock star brain smoothie.
It's the best ever,
yeah.
Right? And so that's what the most successful people do, because the reason why you create these success routines and these rituals is because you don't want to extend, you only have a certain amount of mental energy throughout the
right.
day. And you can do the best you can to enhance it. You can do the meditation and the cryotherapy and everything else that we do, and you'll have a certain level that you could tap into. But at the end of the day, you know, you're gonna get fatigued at some point, right? Because you work and you stretch and then you rest. But here's the thing, there's this thing called, and this is one of the super villains that entrepreneurs face, is decision fatigue. Decision fatigue basically says, the research says that you can only make a certain amount of good decisions a day,
right?
And then you're done. And at the end of the day, you could be out, you know, with your family or friends, and you're looking at a menu and they're like, what do you want? And you just honestly cannot choose something because you used up all your decisions. And this is why people like Mark Zuckerberg, right, who runs Facebook, or Tony Hsieh, who runs Zappos, that's why they wear the same t-shirt.
Yeah.
They always wear the same sweatshirt, because if you ask them, the reason why is they don't want to waste one of their decisions on what am I going to wear today?
For sure.
You know, as opposed to how am I going to impact billions of people?
Right.
And that's a little bit of a better question. Not, I'm not saying they only have one t-shirt, right, or one sweatshirt.
It's like, have like 100 20. Of the same color.
Right. I actually have three of these shirts. Nice. Right? I have the largest collection of Brain shirts and superhero memorabilia ever, because people send me this stuff all the time. And if you're one of those people, thank you so much for that. But, you know, I'm the Brain guy. So it's just, I don't have to think about, oh, I have to be on stage, I have another, what am I going to wear?
Right.
Because I'd rather think about, how am I going to serve?
For right? sure.
And that's just a better thing. But you win the first hour of the day, you can win the rest of the day.
Well, I know when we were talking about brain and learning and memory, and I'd shared a story with you earlier, was the fact that it's been 2 years now. Wow. When I was at your place,
yeah.
And we did all this brain training, yeah. And speed reading and memory recall, and you taught us how to count to 10 in Japanese.
Right.
And other than that, I hadn't been exposed to Japanese, so I was able to take what you taught me and teach my daughter at the time was 6. Wow. And so, and she picked it up right away. And just last week, so about 2 years later, she was at her school and they were doing Spanish and Russian and some different language stuff. And she's like, well, I know Japanese. And so she taught the class how to teach to count to 10 in Japanese.
That's amazing.
And so, I mean, just the basic skills of what you taught, yeah. was able to have her 2 years later remember and be able to teach.
And that's the thing. And how long did it take for her to learn? Like
5 to 10 minutes at the most.
And that's the thing. When you understand how your memory works, you could work your memory. And that's the really cool thing about it. And I think the reason why memory is so important for entrepreneurs is because even if you could find stuff on Google and such like that, the reason why it's very, very important, I'll give you two reasons. Number one, all your decisions can only, your life is a reflection of the decisions you make every single day.
Sure.
Right? And so it's accumulation of that. Now, we can only make a good decision based on information that you know and remember. So if you lost, for example, half of the information, you forgot half of the things that you knew, if you forgot half the people you knew, if you forgot half of the case studies, half of the product information, your expertise, you would be extremely less valuable, right? In terms of your ability to create new wealth. Now think about if you could actually double what you can know. I mean, double the amount of people you know, double the amount of speech you have, languages, and anything that you need to be able to remember, then you are a real asset, you know, either to your company or to your team or to the world at large. So that's number one is the reason why you have that. The other reason why you want a good memory is because your memory, it's not just remembering foreign languages and formulas and facts and figures and all this stuff. Certainly that's doable for everybody that's watching. But the three things I really want to remember that are most important, the reason why you want a mentally fit memory, you know, a mind, if you will, just like you want, you know, physical strength, you want mental strength and endurance and flexibility and sharpness, is because you want to remember things like, first of all, your loved ones, right? Three L's, your loved ones, because these are the special souls in your life, friends, family members, clients that you hold dear. You want to remember those people. The second L, I would say, is you want to remember your life, right? Mm-hmm. You want a strong memory to be able to remember things in your life. And because if your life is worth living, it's worth remembering. But a lot of people don't even remember what they had for breakfast yesterday, right? Because they don't have a trained memory.
Right.
The third thing besides your loved ones and your life, I would say, is your lessons. Remember your lessons, and especially in business. And I see this repeatedly being an advisor for a number of businesses and startups, is a lot of people will repeat the same mistake over and over again.
Sure.
In their business, in marketing, in their health, they'll eat the same food, crummy food, they'll get in the same relationship, whatever it happens to be. They'll invest in the same things and then it'll still fail because they don't remember the lessons. I have a friend named Mary Lou, and she said, you know, that definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Right.
And she says, Jim, that's not insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. It's actually a poor memory because people aren't remembering the thing and they repeat. And so anything you don't remember, the lessons you don't remember, you're doomed to be able to repeat them. So that's why it's important to have a good memory. The challenge is when I was talking about digital distraction as being a supervillain, we're outsourcing our memories to our smart devices. And so, like, think about how many simple questions. How many phone numbers? How many phone numbers did you know growing up?
I remember when I was a kid, I was like, man, I can remember like 50 or 100 phone numbers.
Incredible.
And it was like XYZ, you know, Lee, and I would rattle off the phone number, and now it's like maybe 5,
exactly.
10 at the most.
At most, and I guarantee you, that's probably 5 or 10 more than most people remember. Because I'm not saying I want to memorize hundreds of phone numbers, but we're outsourcing our brains to our smart devices.
Sure.
Our phone numbers, our to-dos, it does simple math for us on calculators, tells us how to get here, there, and here's a challenge. And that's fine because it's convenient, but then also if you're relying on it, it's crippling. Your brain is like a muscle, it grows stronger with use, and it's use it or lose it. So now people can't remember a name. They can't remember what they need to do that today. They can't remember, you know, someone's phone number anymore, and they lose that capacity. And my thing is, you want to be mentally fit. It's not just about mental intelligence, it's about mental fitness. I had a student call me up the other day, and first thing in the morning, she's like, I found it. She's like, I love you. And I was like, what'd you find? She's like, she hid a family heirloom that was given to her by a grandmother in her home. It was a necklace. And it was given not to her mother or to her two sisters. It was given to her to be able to protect and steward over it. And she hid it somewhere in her home. And for 3 years, she didn't know where she put it. You know what I mean? And she thought she lost it. She thought it was stolen. She got so much grief from her family. After going through our online program, she woke up in the middle of the night, like 3 o'clock in the morning. She ran down 2 flights of stairs behind the boiler into this little crevice and pulled out the necklace. And I was like, I didn't teach you in that program how to remember where you put things. You know, that wasn't part of that program. She's like, I don't know what it is, but after going through a program, I just feel like my brain is 20 years younger. I'm sharper, fitter. I start remembering names even without using the techniques and she said this, thank you so much for giving me my brain back. You know, and that's my thing. It's just,
it's awesome.
Growing up with learning challenges, because I had a brain injury as a kid, so I couldn't do all this stuff, and I know what it's like to struggle. I just want to help people build better, brighter brains. And for me, it's no brain left behind.
For sure. So I know we got a little bit of time left.
Yeah.
But I wanted to touch base on sleep. So one of the biggest things I know with sleep is making sure you get sleep, but is it the quality? So say, is it better to get super deep sleep for 6 hours or kind of off and on restless sleep for 8 hours?
And this is something that's a powerful subject for me, because I suffer from this really severe sleep apnea, and it's a breathing disorder at night. So for four years, I never slept more than 2 hours a night.
I remember,
and it was like combined total, because I would stop breathing a couple hundred times a night because of this genetic, you know, issue. And so, and I had a breathing device, a CPAP and a dental device that moved my jaw forward so I could get more air. Nothing was really helping me. And so I study sleep, you know, intensely. And then I eventually had surgery and had like, you know, more airways, and that's a little bit better. So it's not perfect, but it is progress. So sleep, first of all, we know it's important, right? It's important for your brain. If you want a quick brain, you need to sleep better. And I would say the longer, deeper you sleep, the better, obviously. Couple of sleep hacks, if you will, is that number one, in my bedroom, I have blackout curtains, so it's pitch black. Yeah. And you want to sleep in an environment where it's pitch black. And even to the point where I don't even have an alarm clock in there, or if you're in a hotel, cover the alarm clock, and there's no, because you have photoreceptors on your body, and anything will get you out of that state. Secondly, I would say on top of for sleep specifically, is I don't have the phone in there. I don't have anything that's digital in there.
Okay.
I kind of limit the EMFs. Electromagnetic fields that are going on in that, because we're really sensitive to those kind of things.
Right.
The night before, I have like go into a parasympathetic mode,
right,
where you're ready to sleep. So at night, I don't touch a computer or a digital device the last 2 hours before I go to bed.
Yeah.
Because what it does, first of all, you shouldn't be doing work at that time anyway, because you're not going to be very, very productive. But number two, when you're on those devices, it emits blue light, as you know. Right, and so all the screens emit this blue light, and the reason why it's a challenge is because it inhibits the production of melatonin, your own melatonin, and melatonin is key to relax and put you into a sleep state. And so if you are gonna use digital devices, then you put Flux on your computer, like these different apps that can eliminate the blue light or reduce the blue light as the time goes on. You know, I wear these red
glasses. Yeah, for
sure. So I wear the blue blocker.
Which makes a huge difference.
Amazing. I mean, literally, you could go on Amazon and buy them for like $4 or $5, these like red, orange glasses that block out the blue light, and you just wear them the last hour or two at night. I take a sea salt, like a bath, because it's full of, like, that Epsom salt is full of magnesium, and magnesium gets really well absorbed transdermally, like through your skin. And so, you know, I make like a little sleep tea and with chamomile and just do all this stuff, but do everything you can to be able to maximize, your sleep. Remember, it's things that you could do and also things not to do. Like you're not drinking or ingesting caffeine the
right.
last, you know, past 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, certainly. And you eliminate that, you eliminate digital devices, you add some really good things. I always feel like just, it's really simple. Just do something positive, like add something and then subtract something.
Right.
Right, that's the key. You stop doing something, you start doing something else. You stop, you know, drinking your diet soda, right? And you start replacing it with water. You stop doing this and you start going for a walk.
Sure.
In the morning.
And I think, yeah, that's key, is replacing something. So if you're stopping one thing, hey, here's what I need to replace it with. That's a better thing.
That's one of the keys for breaking bad habits.
Right, because I think a lot of people, not to get off sleep topic for a minute, but a lot of people, when they're trying to break a habit or get rid of one habit, they're not replacing it. Yeah. And so with a couple of days later, maybe 10 days later, they're all of a sudden back to that same habit they were at. Whereas if we're substituting, okay, hey, like you said, instead of smoking, I'm going for a walk or, you know, this. And so I think that's a definite must to success when you're trying to change your habits. But back on the sleep, I know you were mentioning that the teas and the different things like that to really get into that sleep, and you don't have the phone in the room. What ways do you, because I know for me, you know, I've utilized like a different type of magnetics, like under the bed and things like that to really block EMFs and also, but also help create the different waves, brain waves and stuff. And I use a lot of binaural beats when I'm going to sleep to actually get me into deep sleep super quick.
I like all those because they accelerate your ability to fall asleep better. So if you're going to have your phone and you have an app on there, like the binaural beats or anything, just have it on airplane mode, obviously. And so it's not emitting anything. And also you don't feel the angst to be able to check things on there also as well. I also put it again on grayscale, so that way it's just, it doesn't have any of those the blue light, it doesn't have the red, like, you know, why, let me check my messages, that kind of thing. A lot of people will do like a meditation before they go to bed, so they'll have like Headspace, very simple free app, 10-minute walk through on just nice, like, calm down into meditation. I use a HeartMath device, which is also heart resonance.
Right.
So heart rate variability, something really simple device, clips to your ear, plugs into your phone, and has a visual pacer, so you breathe in and out according to it.
I just got it. I haven't tried it yet, so I'm excited to check it out.
It makes a big difference for me personally. So there's like these little biohacks that you could use, technology to help accelerate your high performance for sleep. And I would keep it as simple as possible, especially if you travel a lot, because I'd rather... It's so easy to make things complex. And sometimes as entrepreneurs, we do that because we know so much about a subject. And I feel like real genius is making it simple and doable where you can be consistent. Because if it's too difficult, like if you have 30 different supplements you take and all this other stuff, it's not always sustainable financially or your time or just practically. But something you can commit to is something that's better. Like I'd rather you have something good today than something that'll be perfect eventually, you know, decades from now.
For sure. I know you have a new show that you've recently launched.
Yeah.
And I've caught some here and there. Really awesome thing is they're like 15 minutes, 10 minutes, like short little bursts.
Well, that's a burst is a brain burst. I like
brain
that.
Burst. Yeah. There you go.
So what we have is we have a podcast. It's called Quick Brain. And here's the only thing I have to spell it right. My last name really is Quick. I didn't change it to do this. My father's name was Quick. My grandfather's name was Quick. But it's called Quick Brain, K-W-I-K Brain. You get it on iTunes or on Android. And every podcast is exactly that, 10 or 20 minutes. They're very short and to the point. And what it is, it's basically brain hacks for busy people who want to learn faster and achieve more. And we have episodes that I talked about my top 10 favorite brain foods. And I teach people how to memorize them. So when they're next time they're at Whole Foods, they can pick them up easily. How to read a book a week, how to create habits. And also we did an episode on how to break habits. And that those two are just extremely, extremely valuable. So anything, how to remember names, how to speed read, all that content there, you can just go to iTunes and be able to listen to it. And and also stay engaged. You and I are both very active on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. So it's just at Jim Quick. If you have any questions, tag us both. I would love to know what you thought of this. I would actually re-listen to this episode and then take notes. There's a great episode that I wrote, that I did on how to take notes the best way, because most people don't take notes properly. Listen to that episode, come back to this episode and then take notes like that. Take a picture of your notes and then post it and tag us in it, because I would love to see like all the takeaways, your biggest ahas from here, and I would love to either retweet it or just respond to it. That would be huge.
Well, I remember seeing the notes one because I went and watched it again.
Yeah,
I'm like, and I was getting ready to go do something. I'm like, oh wait, I see the notes thing. Let me snap a couple little screenshots of it, figure out, and then I started like implementing, you know, that. And I think it's awesome how it helps you be able to find stuff and recall information, and then really be direct in what the key pieces or key takeaways are.
Yeah, a lot of people will listen to both our shows, and they're like, you know, they're working out, or they're doing whatever, or they're driving a car, which is great. Because mine is like 10, 15 minutes long, people tend to binge listen to a number
right.
of them, like they do Netflix. And because every single episode just makes you smarter, faster, and better. Because the truth is, you are faster and you're smarter than you think. And
cool.
That's the theme of the show.
That's awesome. And then just last question, what kind of last insights or advice or direction you'd like to leave our audience with?
So I think I was counting. I got up to like 25 real takeaways that you could employ here. So we talk about all the different brain foods and the smoothies and making your bed and journaling and gratitude, all these different things. What I would stress out of all of them, besides listening to podcasts and doing this and taking notes of this episode and sharing this episode with your friends, is learn something to teach it to other people. And the takeaway I would say is, in the future, as you re-listen to these conversations, learn as if you're going to teach it. And the reason why is twofold. The reason to learn anything is not only for yourself, but for somebody else. That's a real benefit, right? That's the reason why you want to learn anything that's empowering and inspiring. But the other reason why you want to teach it to somebody else is it helps you learn it better. And what I mean by that is, when you listen to a podcast like this, or you read a book, and you get takeaways, and you're learning with the intention of giving a presentation or coaching somebody, a family member, your child, right?
Sure.
Like what you did with counting the Japanese.
Right.
When you learn with the intention of teaching it, you learn it twice as well, because you focus differently, you ask questions differently, you take notes differently, and you have to really own it in order to be able to express it back out. And I always tell people, when you teach something, you get to learn it twice. That's a tweetable, at Jim Quick, KWFK. but learn with the intention to teach. So I would say go forward. Obviously, if you're still watching this and you're here with us, that you're a lifelong learner. Commit yourself to that. And also, don't become just a lifelong learner. Become a lifelong teacher and coach also as well. Learn it to be able to give it. Because here's the thing. You learn to earn to return. You learn to earn, because the faster you can learn, the faster you could earn, right? Money, memory makes you money. Learn, earn, and then return. You give it back. Right? And because that's everything in nature has to learn, has to grow, and has to return.
Right.
It has to give back. Otherwise, it gets wiped out and it's eliminated. And same thing with economics, you know, in this industry. If you don't add value, you're just gone.
Yeah. There for a little while and then gone.
This is true. We've seen it so many times.
Yeah. Well, awesome. This was stellar. I mean, so much information, as you said, 25 at least.
Yeah.
Gold nuggets packed in there, takeaways from the show.
Take a picture of your notes and share it. And take a picture of the books you're reading. Remember the other, I would say,
an
extra bonus thing. But when I was saying I read, you know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 45 minutes a day to read a book a week, take a picture of what you're reading and tag us. I'd love to see what you're reading also as well.
For sure. All right, Jim, I just want to thank you again for coming on the show. We had such awesome information today, really sharing with our audience again, and just really appreciate your time today.
Appreciate you too.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Take care.
I am Josh Felber. You were watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.